Can you remember a time when your enthusiasm for spiritual things was on fire? Nothing, it seemed, could diminish your zeal for walking with God. And then, well, life kicked in. And over time, you lost the natural passion that made you feel invincible. Well, you're not alone. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that the Israelites experienced the same thing. And in their lowest moments, God said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." As we begin, Chuck leads us in prayer.
Today, our Father, we come before you with gratitude for the way that you continue to meet our needs in such abundance. Thank you that you cross all cultural barriers, all races, all color, all needs, all beliefs, and you penetrate the heart with the truth of the Son of God. May we not lose our way in this strange age in which we live, where compromise is written across virtually every politician's life, where many who once preached your word now do entertainment, where we have the opportunity to hear the truth, but we do not value it, where we come to a time where we may not always have these liberties we now enjoy, which we take for granted. Catch us up short. Remind us, Father, that we live by your grace. Your truth is our guide. Because of it, we live and move and have our being. Guide us into this series with confidence that you will use each message in a special way to provide counsel for our troubled times. Speak, Father, and we will listen. Now is our opportunity to do what we rarely are able to do through the week, and that is to give to you. We do so with gratitude that you have provided us with an occupation and you have met our needs. May we be in turn as generous. For the glory of Christ, we pray these things and we give our gifts. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Sustaining Enthusiasm.
The longer you spend time engaged in the things about the church, the more easily the stalker will steal from you and, in fact, carry out a plan to kill something within you. He's a thief as well as a killer. And what does he steal? He steals your excitement. He kills your enthusiasm. Who is this predator, this invisible but powerful thief and killer? He is overexposure. That's the name I'll give him. Overexposure. Becoming so familiar with spiritual truth, singing spiritual songs, attending spiritual meetings, planning spiritual programs, activities, involvements, that you become ultimately weary in well-doing. And you start to lose heart. I'm not the first one to address this. Paul addressed it when he wrote to the Corinthians. In fact, he begins that 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians with, I warn you, I warn you. Listen to me, this is a warning. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. So this isn't anything new. This has been going on for centuries. Paul goes way, way back to the people of Israel after they had been released from Pharaoh and Egypt's bondage and set free to move to the promised land. I know, you've heard it. Here we go again. What about those people? Before I tell you, I want you to take the time to mark some things in these first five verses. The word all, A-L-L. My Bible reads in verse 1, all of them were guided. And before the verse is over, all of them walked through the sea. Second verse, all of them were baptized. Verse 3, all of them ate the same spiritual food. Verse 4, all of them drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with him. All of them, all of them, all of them, all of them, all of them. Every one of them. What? Exposed to magnificent things. But notice, verse 5, God was not pleased with most of them. All of them had all of the benefits, and with most of them who became jaded, cynical, bored, who let the stalker make them a victim, God was not pleased. What were the benefits? Well, look at the text. They were all guided by a cloud by day. Did you miss that? All of them, verse 1, were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them. God moves that cloud, and as they saw the cloud, they moved. And at night, they had the fire. It's cold in the desert, and God graciously gave them a fire by night. They got the Egyptian army coming toward them. They cannot escape. There's a desert, there's mountains, and there's a Red Sea. And they got the army coming, and Moses said, stand still and watch the deliverance of the Lord. He steps out, the sea parts. Listen to this, as if for the first time. And the waters are rolled back to the right and to the left. They walk through it on dry ground. That's another amazing thing. All of them came through. Not one of them got drowned. And then the waters came over the Egyptians. Not one of the enemy troops took them on. They were safe. All of them had that miracle experience. All of them. That's not all they had for them. They were all baptized as the followers of Moses. The word means identified with. Moses, their leader, they were like their leader. Moses followed, they followed. Moses obeyed, they obeyed. They went right along with Moses. They were one with them. Moses. Can you imagine a more magnificent opportunity than to be under the leadership of Moses from 80 to 120? Moses, strong, meek, courageous, obedient. Moses is their leader. All of them had Moses. They knew his voice. They saw the tablets. They heard his warnings. They listened to his sermons. Deuteronomy is filled with them. Moses, they all had Moses. And all of them drank the same spiritual water that came from the rock. And that rock was Christ. They had the water. They were thirsty and water came out. You know what? I missed one. They were all fed the same spiritual food. Verse 3, one of my favorites. Manna. Every day, manna. How good is that? Well, try eating manna every day. Have you heard of Mrs. Moses' cookbook? 1,001 Ways to Fix Manna. Manna's boiled, manna's broiled, manna is fried, manna's cut up, manna's thinned out with water, but it's manna. It's manna. No, it isn't just manna. Check out Psalm 78:25. It's angels' food. It's the food of angels delivered to them. They didn't have to plant it. They didn't have to harvest it. It's there waiting for them every day. No one went hungry. They got tired of manna. Manna. What's for supper? Don't ask. Manna. Let me pause and mention something here. Can you imagine? One lasting miracle after another. Yet God was not pleased with most of them. Why? They lost their awe of God. Business as usual. It was a perfunctory thing. You got to go through this. You might as well make the best of it. As a matter of fact, look, verse 6. These things happened as a warning to us. You know what? That bridge is 21 centuries and more, far more. You go back way beyond the first century AD. You go back to the days of Moses, and you come all the way to the 21st. This is today. This is a warning for you and me now. I found that in my study. I thought of it in my study. I drew a little chart that spanned from Moses' day all the way to the 21st century, and I saw the years. And I sat back at my desk and thought, oh, it's a warning for me, for you. You who have experienced God's provision in one way or another, you are fed regularly the Word of God. You are fed the food that God provides through His Word. You have it in your own language. Whatever size print you want, whatever size Bible, whatever study Bible you want to buy, whatever translation, whatever version, it's there. It's there. I counted them one day in my library. I got 21 different Bibles. 21. How many Bibles do you need? I need to learn how to live the truth of one of them. This is a warning. Wake up, Swindoll. Wake up, everybody. Listen. This is for you. Look at what happened to them. These things happened as a warning so that we would not, what, crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. Verse 8, and we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did. Evil things? I thought they were in the midst of a miracle. They craved evil things because they got tired of miracles. They got tired of all that same stuff. Or the worship of idols as some of them did. You know what? They turned to idols, for goodness sake. These people became idolaters. They built a golden calf. And they worshiped the calf. If that wasn't bad enough, in the midst of it, they celebrated, feasted, and drank too much. And some of them even engaged, verse 8, in sexual immorality. How come people do that? They're bored. They've lost the awe of God. How come pastors have affairs? They've lost the awe of God. How come Christian workers can justify running around with somebody else's husband or wife? They lost the awe of God. They can do that and carry on the side. No big deal. Hey, I'm a professional speaker. Can make that happen. What happens? Exactly what you're hearing. Exactly. God was serious, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day, verse 8 concludes. Nor should we put Christ to the test. That's presuming on him, as some of them did, and they died from snake bites. Some of them were destroyed by the angel of death. And don't grumble as some of them. Why do you grumble? You grumble because you've lost your enthusiasm. You grumble because you want something a little snappy. You want it to be a little more entertaining. No wonder entertaining churches pack them out. Just give me a little something to make me feel good. No. I think we need strong medicine at times. I think we need to deal with that. He says at the end of verse 11, they were written down to warn us at the end of the age. Oh, that's now. That's for us. I don't know how you slice it, but that's for me. I need to be aware. Came across the words of Benjamin Warfield, a name some of you will remember, others of you have never heard before. Benjamin Warfield was a great theologian, a teacher, a professor at Princeton Theological Seminary. He wrote over 100 years ago, the date, October 4, 1911. He delivered a talk to the seminary students on the religious life of theological students. It's as though he wrote to Dallas Seminary, or Trinity Seminary, or Denver Seminary, or Master's Seminary, or Gordon Conwell Seminary, or wherever today. Listen to B.B. Warfield's prophetic words to these students. We are frequently told, indeed, that the great danger of the theological student lies precisely in his constant contact with divine things. They may come to seem common to him because they are customary. As the average man breathes the air and basks in the sunshine without ever a thought that it is God in his goodness who makes his sun to rise on them, though he is evil and sends rain to him even though he is unjust, so you may come to handle even the furniture of the sanctuary with never a thought above the gross earthly materials of which it is made. Keep listening. The words which tell you of God's terrible majesty or of his glorious goodness may come to be mere words to you. Hebrew and Greek words with etymologies, inflections, and connections and sentences, the reasonings which establish to you the mysteries of his saving activities may come to be to you mere logical paradigms with premises and conclusions, fitly framed, no doubt, and triumphantly cogent, but with no further significance to you than their formal logical conclusiveness. It is your great danger. Listen to the word he uses. Danger. It is your great danger, but it is your great danger only because it is your great privilege. I have the greatest privilege on the planet to be able to study and to proclaim the truth of God's word. And if I am not careful, it's just another book. Just another talk. And for you, just another sermon. The stalker is on the move. Now, stay with me in this transition. All of that first generation of people died, disciplined by God, died in the wilderness, and for 40 years, Moses preached one funeral service after another. The path was strewn with the litter of cadavers. As all of these jaded, cynical followers of Moses lost their heart. And a brand new generation arose, children of these moms and dads who were taken. Now, when you go from 1 Corinthians 10 to Joshua 1, turn quickly, Joshua 1, you meet up with the new generation. Okay? Here's a brand new generation of people. These are all folks that are really relatively young adults, all the way down to little children. Their moms and dads are all dead. To make matters even more interesting, Moses is dead. So Moses is gone, and there's a brand new leader named Joshua who has the task not of being Moses. There was only one Moses. He now has to lead these people as Joshua. And so the Lord calls him to the side and says, Joshua, listen to me. I got some stuff I want to tell you, and I don't want you to ever forget it. or you'll lose your enthusiasm, like they did. So the first thing he verifies is Moses is dead. He won't speak to you at night. He won't visit with you in the morning. There's no sky riding. Moses, gone. You're on. Now, Joshua, here's what you do as I charge you to stay engaged as you make the journey from here into the promised land where you will be fighting the Canaanites, mean as a bunch of junkyard dogs, hard to deal with, idolatrous, filthy in their morals. You'll have to deal with all of the stuff they've written on their walls and all the pornography that is a part of their lifestyle. You're going to have to invade that land, clean it out, and occupy it. You'll live in homes they built. You'll eat from trees they planted and vineyards they planted. You'll drink from cisterns they've dug. You'll have model homes. But if you're not careful, you're going to be just like that former generation. You're going to lose your enthusiasm. This is straight talk. Strong medicine, huh? Let me pause here and let you take a breath, okay? I decided this past week to get a little refreshment from Steve Farrar's book, Finishing Strong. Love Steve's writings. And this book happened to be one that I had read before and had some markings in it, and I came across a story I just love because it illustrates the importance of what I'm trying to say. Willie and Ray, a couple of ranchers, met at the feed store one afternoon. "I had some problems with my herd," said Willie. "My prize bull was impotent, but the vet came over and gave him some special medicine, and now he seems to be doing just fine." Several weeks later, Willie and Ray met again at the store. "Hey, Willie," said Ray, "now my bull is having those problems. What was that medicine the vet prescribed?" Willie said, "I don't remember the name, but it kind of tastes like chocolate." Now, if that offends you, I've got Steve Farrar's phone number here. I'll be glad to give you. So call him, don't call me. I think that's a great story. You know why? Because we all need a little strong medicine sometime. Sometimes you think it's for somebody else, even the bull is for you.
Wow, it's impossible to miss the point. You're listening to Insight for Living and a practical message from Chuck Swindoll on sustaining enthusiasm. It's the first study in a series called Wise Counsel for Troubled Times. By all means, make it a point to join us again for the next program to hear the conclusion of Chuck's message. And if you'd like to learn more about this ministry or Chuck Swindoll, visit us online at insightworld.org. Laughter is one of the hallmarks of this daily program, and it rarely goes unnoticed. Our listeners often express their gratitude for the levity when so much about life feels heavy. One of your fellow listeners recently used the word authenticity and expressed his gratitude. He said, "Chuck, you taught me that humor as a Christian is quite okay. You taught me that it's okay to be human and make mistakes." And another said, "Thank you, Dr. Swindoll, for teaching God's Word. I've listened to Insight for Living for 3 years now. I've learned so much, maturing my growth as a Christian. Never knew I could fall so in love with our Savior. Thanks all at Insight for Living." And he signed his comments, "Saved by Grace." Well, these comments are so encouraging to us, and they should inspire anyone who supported and prayed for this nonprofit ministry. You see, your gift makes these moments possible. God uses your generosity to touch lives with His grace and mercy. Today, we're inviting you to take your next steps with us and join our family of monthly companions. You choose the size of your monthly contribution, whatever God prompts you to give. To become a monthly companion right now, call 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. To give a one-time donation, go to insight.org/monthly companion.
My friend, more than ever, Insight for Living Ministries is determined to serve as a lavish garden for people all around the world who long to smell the aroma of God's matchless grace. A safe place where imperfect, sinful people are forgiven, taught the truth, and redeemed.
There's a simple and effective way to leverage your support of Chuck Swindoll's ministry. Become a monthly companion.
In this emotionally charged era where shouting matches are commonplace, where people feel voiceless and overlooked and even condemned, would you be among those who give generously so that we can spread the fragrance of God's grace to those desperate for a second chance?
Become a monthly companion today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion.
Together, let's introduce people to the God who says, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness."
Again, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll continues to address this relevant spiritual issue, sustaining enthusiasm, here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Sustaining Enthusiasm, was copyrighted in 2013, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.